And now at this time, I'm going to call the council to order. Welcome back, Forrest.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Good to be back.
Yeah. Wrong pile. We're going to start with the city manager check-in. Adam.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. A couple things I wanted to highlight. This month, the city's continuing to work through the blue line. We submitted the letter that the council approved last time to Metro Transit, and there was also the CMC meeting this month that the mayor and council member Hamish attended, as well as John Sutter and I. Sorry.
Kaiser.
Sorry. Kind of
look like, you know.
My apologies. Yes.
Similar name.
Councilor Kaiser. That went well. It was a good discussion. Continuing on, the one other thing I did add this update was that I gave an update of our current debt that was requested last month. Our debt as of the end of last year, for making our annual payment, our debt service level was $9,690,000. At the end of 23, it'll be projected to be, after this year's payments, $8,340,000. So that's continuing to decrease at over $1 million a year. So we're completely debt free. The audit is coming up. Finance has been preparing for that. The field work is going to be in April. We have been working on some other financial kind of items. The Parks and Rec Department is requesting, a couple of them are on this evening's agenda, some additional grant funding. And earlier this week, John L. Holm and I went to the state capitol, and I testified in support of a House bill for the state bonding funding for the Crystal Aquatic Center. So that hearing was yesterday, and so we're excited to learn about the future of that. We did learn also that on Thursday, the Senate companion bill is being heard, but there's no testimony involved. They're taking all the bills and holding them over for this bonding bill. So we hope to learn more information on that as well. The March 1st meeting for the Inclusion and Diversity meeting or commission was unfortunately canceled due to the absence of several members. We were not able to reschedule that in time, but next week we will be having the April meeting. And that is about it for my update. Just want to give one other thing that's also going to be mentioned in the announcements. There are currently two charter commission openings. One was vacated due to Councilmember LaRoche having resigned and moving out of the city. And last week, we did have another resignation from the chair, Harley Heichel. And so his seat is now going to be open. So that'll be two open positions or two open seats on the charter commission. So we are soliciting for those. If the city council, if there's any members from the city council that would like to apply for that, that is, and I just want to remind the council that is an option. So please let city clerk Sarah's know, and we can get that application for you. But that's all I had. Stand for any questions.
Questions? Go ahead.
When does the charter commission meet?
They meet the second Thursday of the month.
Okay. Thank you.
In the evening at 6:30.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Does the debt and also include the amount of money that we borrowed to ourselves for the police station? Is that included in that number?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But I can check on that and give the council an update.
Okay. Good deal. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure not. Go ahead, Forrest.
And then with the Charter Commission vacancies, traditionally there is a council member representative, correct?
There has been a council member, but it's not a, it's, they have to go through the same process mm-hmm. as an outside member.
But traditionally, Charter Commissions have a, or no?
I think it's the other way around. I think she was the, Nancy was on there before she was a council member, if I'm not mistaken. Is that wrong? That might be wrong. I better not talk out of school.
I would have to check on that.
We're not sure.
Are you interested?
But, oh, no, I was just wondering, because I know other charter, other cities' charter commissions normally have a city council representative.
It's not the same as a liaison.
Yeah.
It's an actual member.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. Any more questions? Seeing none. Constituent issues? None?
No, not for this evening.
Okay. New business?
Oh, actually, I did have something on with constituent issues.
Mm-hmm.
This could be something that we hear more about. I hadn't seen it in the packets, but max changes with the height zoning. Is that going to be something that, did I miss it? I may have missed it. I'm sorry if I did. But is that going to be coming in front of the council at all, or will there be a work session about that?
Yes, that, Mr. Sutter, probably give a more current update on where that is.
Sure, thank you. Council member, yes, it will have to go to the Planning Commission first because it is technically a type of zoning ordinance. But before it even comes to our Planning Commission and then ultimately to you, as the council, MAC first has to have their hearing on the draft ordinance. So, we have maps that we put on the website that, you know, have pretty specific height, maximum heights, so that people can look at their particular property. But we'd be happy to respond to any specific questions members of the public may have about their property. The MAC hearing has been rescheduled because the blizzard in February got rescheduled now to February 19th. So they'll be sending out a whole new mailed notice to the same properties. It was literally thousands of properties. And that will go out in time for the in advance of the April 19th MAC hearing. And then it will come before each city's Planning Commission and Council.
Thank you for the update.
All right. New business. Announcements that aren't going to be covered on the end of the council meeting. All right, we'll handle them then. And as far as the interviews are, we're going to do them on the back side of this, of the actual council meeting. We don't have enough time to even start. So, yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, just one thing on that item. All the council members have before them. There was one other additional addendum. It starts with the schedule and the memo again for the interviews, and then you have your the questions for each candidate or each applicant. There's a separate page and the scoring sheet. So I just want to let the council know what those are.
Okay, thank you. All right, we are adjourned. All right, we are going to continue with the work session and hit the final agenda of interviews for candidates. Any questions for the council before we get rolling? All right, we have, everybody has their sheets in front of them. All right. Rachel?
Yeah.
Hi. Would you please step forward to the podium and make sure you adjust the microphone down so the people at home can hear.
Oh, this is the best one. The other one.
Right. Okay.
Hey. All right.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Oh, I was going to take this. Hope I don't have lines at night. I have, if I may.
Pardon?
If I may.
What would you like to
do? I have list of volunteer experience I'd like to
have? So we do have a series of questions we'd like to go through quick.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that we get the questions done.
Sure. We can do this after.
Does that work for you?
Yes.
That'd be awesome. All right. I guess we didn't discuss how we're going to do this. If we could just rotate through the council. I'll start with the first question and we'll move to my right and then back to my left. All right. I have to find the questions first.
You're at the back.
The back, thank you. All right. First question is one that you answered on your application. Just like to sometimes repeat it, hear you in person talk about it. First question is, why are you interested in serving on the City Bristol Council?
Sure. The reason I'm interested in serving is because I believe I have something unique to offer the council, which specifically relates to environmental issues. So even tonight, I had questions that, because I was in the audience, I didn't ask. Regarding like the new development. There wasn't any questions asked about solar panels on the roof, like if that's even planned. If I were on the council, I would be advocating for that kind of thing with new developments. With the new park, I would have asked about more shade, because we're going to have a hotter climate. So more shade is going to be necessary for kids if they want to go out and play safely. Or trees. So a park can also have tall trees planted that grow fast to help with shading the play areas.
Okay.
That's why I want to be. So, please.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
I'm pretty likable. I'm a good listener. So I imagine people come to the council at times and with questions or, you know, concerns about what's going on. And in order to make sure that they know that I am hearing them, and also to make sure that I am sure that I'm hearing them right, using a strategy called reflective listening is really helpful. So it's not so much about just saying exactly what they said back to them. It's more about getting down to what it actually means. Getting down to the heart of the problem. And an example for that would be someone might come in with a concern about dangerous drivers on their street, right? And maybe they have kids. And they might be mad at these dangerous drivers and they might just want them to be arrested. But the heart of the problem is they're fearful for their children. So making sure that they understand, that I understand, that that's what's really important. And then a solution can be thought out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What are the critical issues facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
Yeah. So I think Crystal's major strengths are the people. I really don't know how Crystal has been able to attract such intelligent, thoughtful people. Do you know the crime rate in Crystal is significantly lower than its surrounding cities? Like, how did we do that? Like, let's keep it up. challenges. I've heard from people that they're concerned about their property taxes going up. I'm personally concerned about the state of our natural areas in our parks. But like, you know, there's a specific intersection I've heard is a concern. I think making sure that Crystal is looking toward the future and how we can just make the city a better place, even though it's already great, and trying to envision how, you know, like I had this idea to make the city a little bit more walkable by turning some specific streets into one ways, where one street would be one direction and the other would be this direction. And then a portion of each of those streets could be for walking or biking. And if you had those streets, you know, ending up at a park, then I have a lot of ideas.
All right, I guess it's wraps around to me, right? Could you please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting?
Can I write that down? Public services?
Taxes and budgeting.
It's kind of like three questions all in one. So,
well, no, they're definitely interrelated. I want to get a drink of water first. Nervousness makes my mouth.
You're doing great.
Thanks. Okay. So that's a balancing. Who asked me that? That is a balancing act. And I actually really like Crystal's and like the public works department's like strategy for this, which is a long-term plan. Local government is so different from like national government because we're seeing in like, we have this 2040 plan, right? But the public works department has a 120-year plan. So like they have the city all sectioned out in all these different sections, like we're gonna work on this section this year, and it's all like, anyway, you plan it out like that and you can work way smarter, right? So then you can budget for that, and then you like the taxes are more stable, I guess, you know, people know what to expect. Does that answer the question?
Sounds great.
Okay. It's not an easy question.
Yeah. So describe your experience in working collaboratively. Did I say that right? In building consensus.
Building consensus.
Yes.
Yeah, I have experience recently with doing that when it comes to the New Hope Women of Today and my involvement there. So every time I was going to a general meeting, I was noticing all this waste that was being produced from the disposable servingware that we were using because they serve food. Anyway, you know, what I did to begin with is I just spoke with a few people one at a time to see what they thought about the idea of going to compost or like problem solving, like, do you have any ideas what we could do about this, you know? And like there were some different ideas that came up, like, well, maybe we could try washing dishes, but no one was really a fan of that idea. So it was really about just talking to different people. And then eventually, when I kind of got the impression that there was interest in moving forward with compostables, I made an announcement. I also did a couple of trainings about like Hennepin County's new organics recycling program during general meetings. And during those, at those meetings, I actually brought compostable servingware that I had purchased so people could see it, like, hey, it works just the same, you know. Hey, this work didn't break or whatever. Yeah, and then eventually, you know, it just came, it became apparent that as long as it was cost-effective or efficient, cost-efficient, there wasn't really any reason to keep polluting every general meeting. So we compost now.
Nice. Thank you.
Thanks.
What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen-focused?
Citizen-focused. Interesting. I really like the, I'm going to butcher the name of it, but it's an inclusive group, a commission, maybe? Sorry. But that is a really good way, I think, talking about citizen-focused, because those are just literally citizens, like talking about whatever they want to talk about, right? I haven't gone to one of those. I think you're the liaison for it.
I was, wrong? But I was not, I didn't have the confidence of the council.
Oh, apologies.
I call you here.
Well, that's why you're asking the question.
No, actually, it's
I'm just sorry. What, can you tell me the name of the commission? What is it called?
Inclusion and diversity.
Inclusion and diversity, yeah.
And it's not a DEI. It's different than that. It goes further than that.
Right. And diversity. So the my master's program that I went through is called community counseling. And it basically focused on helping me to be able to counsel people who are different from me. That was like the major focus of it. So like I did diversity training during that program. I should be able to talk with pretty much anyone and be able to connect with them because I'm aware of my biases, basically, you know, and I'm aware of my privilege.
Right. Did you have any questions for the city council?
What are you looking for in a city council addition?
We don't know.
Okay.
You know, I think we do. I think we're just looking for someone who, you know, has good qualifications and fits kind of the goals that we're trying to set, you know, both on business, on including everyone in the community, you know, helping support our neighborhoods. I missed one.
Advocating for your constituents?
No. It's written neighborhoods.
Yeah,
there are four priorities. We know them really well.
I got the third page here. Strategic. No.
It's including everyone in the neighborhood, so that relates to the neighborhoods. It's businesses. We want a vibrant business, and then strong financial policies. And the other one,
work-life balance.
Work-life balance, that's yours. That's specific to you.
So, Rachel, you want to be here every day? It's a good answer.
Council Member Budiceski. I'm going to have to get used to the vernacular.
Yes, you're... Yes. Just call me, Anything else?
Sorry. We were schmoozing. No, we can be done.
All right. Does council have anything specific they want to ask? All right. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your interest, your willingness to volunteer. We really appreciate having the number of applicants that we have here. It's exciting to have this much interest in local politics. Did you have one more thing?
Mr. Mayor.
Sir?
She said she would not be a volunteer. She would get paid.
Oh, my gosh. There's still an awful lot of volunteers. It's a stipend. It's really a stipend.
Okay,
So much is the amount of headspace it takes doesn't cover what you get paid for.
It really fits well with my schedule because I'm a homeschool mom. So weekends and like after 5 on weekdays, it's perfect for me.
Okay.
I can make it to the meetings.
All right. Thank you, Rachel.
My volunteer experience.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Feel free.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you for going first.
I'm a homeschool mom too. So yeah. Share stories.
Oh my gosh.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. Just a view.
Okay. I don't need it. Or I don't need it.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you very much.
I think that's more nerve-wracking than the one.
It is. Because
you're just all alone and everyone's had to be huge. Somebody else that I'm even looking at. It's just like,
How do you say Taji's last name? Is it Monsieur-san?
Okay. That's you can ask. I would ask.
Okay.
That's what I like when people do.
Yeah.
With me.
Hi, Taji.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Good evening.
First question of the day. We're going to hit it right away. Can you please tell us how to pronounce your last name?
Yes. Does anyone want to try first?
One Sarasan?
Close. It's Onesirosan.
Onesirosan.
Yes.
Onesirosan. Right, but you do that a lot of times in a day.
Yes.
All right. So we have a set of questions that we're asking that are standard. We're going through everybody with the same questions. We're just going to rotate by asking them. You can address the person asking them or the whole council. Just a scripted set of questions.
Right.
And in the end, we'll have an opportunity for you as well. So let's start with the first one. And first one is relating to just why are you here? Why are you interested in serving on the Crystal Council?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So, you know, my undergraduate, I studied political science. I've always been interested in how communities are formed and governed and how can a collective of people make something beautiful together. And then I was living in New Brighton for a while and was always interested in, how can I start getting involved? I knew I wasn't going to be there long term, so didn't actively pursue any kind of board or commission, and certainly not the city council there. But when we moved here, we moved to Crystal because of the affordability and geographic location and lived here for a year and a half, and it's been absolutely wonderful. And so quite quickly, there was an opportunity to serve on the Parks and Rec Commission, took advantage of that opportunity. I've been serving on the Parks and Rec Commission for the last year. And I think through that experience, you kind of get a peek behind the curtain of how some things operate and function. And obviously, Parks and Rec has done incredibly well in the city. And so for me, you know, knowing that, there's this opportunity for, someone else to be on this council, I wanted to offer myself up as someone that one truly has really grown to appreciate in the short time I've lived here what this community has to offer. And as you saw in my application, there was this transition in my mind of this isn't just a place to start. And that was kind of my thought when we bought a house there. You know, we'll get a house, live here for 3 to 5 years and then move somewhere else. But since living here, I've realized, no, I think we can settle down here and be here long term. And so I want to invite everyone into that reality of this is actually a really great place to settle down, to stay. As we know, demographics are changing, younger families are moving in. How do we continue to engage them in a meaningful way? So that's why I'm here, because there is that kind of passion and desire to share that message. And also, like I said, being a part of the Parks and Rec Commission, getting a sense for how some things operate, I think, that has only piqued my interest. And like I said, having some background academically in political science and having a rather long interest in serving at the local government level has been an interest of mine.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Yeah, abilities and background. So as I already mentioned, serving on the Parks and Rec Commission, also, again, an academic background studying political science. But I would also point to my day job, which, again, in my application, I think there's some synergy of working in the corporate environment in this HR capacity where I'm, you know, working with executives trying to figure out how do we meet the goals and objectives our corporation has while staying within the policies, values, and visions of the corporation. And I think that's true here. And for me, you know, it's more about, and in HR, we get a bad rep and we just say no, and we're just a barrier, but no, how can we be a strategic partner? And I think it's similar here. Like, we obviously can't say yes to all the things and please everyone. So how do we be really good at prioritizing, having hard conversations, making hard decisions, ultimately with the intent to ensure the well-being of those that live in this city? So just because I've been exposed to that type of thinking, and that's what I do for my day job, I think that would lend itself well to serving on this council. I think lastly, I'll just mention, you know, I serve on some other nonprofits, not this is a nonprofit, but community engagement is something I'm passionate about. And so I serve on a nonprofit called the Summer Singers, which is a group of choral musicians who put on concerts in the summer. And a lot of my work is, okay, how do we engage the community? And it happens across the Twin Cities. How do we engage the community, create an accessible environment for folks to experience music? I also serve at my alma mater, Bethel, on our National Alumni Board. And so, again, trying to engage alumni, get them connected to the mission, to the vision, and how do we get them to support? So I think there's some synergies. And again, I think naturally just some of the things that I'm interested in and how I like to give my time is how do we bring people together and move towards a meaningful vision.
Hi. What are the critical issues currently facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
Yes. Okay. So, like I said in my application, I think the three things that I'd point to, issues, areas of focus, maybe I would say, opportunities, I would say development, and you can say that a lot of different ways, but our business community, but also involved in that is public transportation. As we know, the Blue Line is a hot topic. So I think there needs to, and I know this is a priority for the council, literally it's one of your priorities, a thriving business community. And I think there's work to be done. And how do we continue to lean into that and prioritize that as we think about, you know, all the implications of that, creating different opportunities and different amenities and resources for our community? How do we increase our tax base? So development, I think, is something top of mind for me, an opportunity that I would want to continue to lean into. Safety is something that I think should always be a top priority. Folks should feel safe in our community. And I'm not saying they don't, but I will say when the Parks and Rec Commission met in local parks last summer on at least two different occasions when the community would be there sharing some of their thoughts and opinions, stop signs came up. That was a hot topic last summer. And so I'm not saying we need a bunch more stop signs, but I think there might need to be some education around, hey, here's how we set up stop signs. Here's what warrants a stop sign. Here's what warrants a yield sign. Here's what warrants no traffic sign. I think there's an education piece that could be helpful for our community, because that's something top of mind for them. And then engagement. I think demographics are changing. The means of communication are changing. How people want to and choose to engage is evolving. And I think we as a city need to continue to evolve. And we know this is evolving exponentially. And so how are we ensuring that our young people and our more seasoned adults are engaged, or at least have the option, access, opportunities to engage with us in a meaningful way. I think for me, one thing, if I were to be appointed, is how do I put myself in the places where our community is? I can't just assume they're going to come to me when they have a question. Even this idea of having office hours, just being at a local place where, hey, I'm available, let's have a conversation. I think it's imperative to ensure that we are listening to our constituents and making it really easy for them and meeting them where they are at. Again, I don't know if that's a significant issue, but I just think it's an area of opportunity and an area of focus. Now, then you asked strength, what we do really well. I think Crystal does a lot of things well, and that's why I'm here to stay, if you will. I have appreciated, I think, the efficiency in which this city operates, the investment you all have made in our parks and recreation. And I would say that is our strength. I live right across from Valley Place Park. Any time of day, any time of year, there are people walking that regional trail, Bassett Creek Regional Trail, walking around Valley Place Park. My family, we walk around it multiple times a week. And that's just one example of many. So I appreciate the investment in our parks and recreation. That's why partially I'm on the Parks and Recreation team, to continue to encourage the city to continue to invest in that way. So certainly our parks and recreation and all the offerings we have just in general for our community is a strength.
All right. Next question. Please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting.
Yes. So you said public, what was the first one? Public
services? Yeah, public services, taxes, and budgeting.
Yeah, so I think when it comes to all of those things, public services, taxes, and budgeting, there is, in my mind, there is a difference between needs and wants. And I think we must ensure that we're prioritizing the needs of our community and then being really thoughtful with the wants. And so there's a lot of different things we could pursue and do as a city, a lot of things we could invest in. And we should have really rigorous conversation about those things and ensure we're investing in the right way. There are needs. And I think what's difficult is people are going to disagree on what needs and wants are. But if we can come to a general consensus of what is needed for our community, simply for their well-being, for their safety, so that they can enjoy living in Crystal, let's do those things exceptionally well. And then as soon as we start getting into, okay, these would be things that are nice to have, let us be really judicious, really rigorous in the conversations that we're having, how we're engaging the community to ensure that the wants or the additional things that would make this community better are being done in a really meaningful and thoughtful way. And then I would say also this idea of being diligent and disciplined. I think, and I think our city has done a good job of this, being diligent and disciplined with how we budget, with the public services we offer. Again, I think there's an idea of excellence in the essential things that we offer. And then being really, again, judicious on the things that maybe aren't absolutely necessary. Let's ensure that we're not taxing folks just to tax them, and that's not true here. And I think we have a good reputation of the affordability and the low taxes that we have. Let's continue to ensure that that remains. But also, are there different ways for us to be creative, different opportunities for us to look into? And again, that goes back to just development. And I think the business community that we have here, are there other ways, other levers that we can pull or invest in to ensure that we are providing what our community wants and needs? So hopefully, Councilmember Adebo, that answered your question to some extent.
Yeah. Please describe your experience in working collaboratively and building consensus. I think you've already done this quite a bit. That way.
Yeah, I think some of that is kind of the essence of my day job. You know, in what I've learned, I don't know what as of late, but over my time in HR, is that HR is often not, again, in more of the coaching and consulting role that I'm in, We're often not the decision makers, but we are influencers. So ultimately, the business owns the decision. This council owns the decision. But there's a lot of conversation, a lot of collaboration that needs to be had. How I approach that is by asking a lot of questions. I certainly seek to understand where people are coming from. I am not afraid of any kind of heated debate or conversation. I actually think that's helpful and valuable. And I think the more perspective, the broader the representation that we can have, the better conversations we'll have. It'll also lead to harder conversations and harder decisions to be made. But I truly believe that the more representative this council is, the better we'll be able to serve our community. So, yeah, I think that's what I'll say about that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen-focused?
Well, I think partially one thing, again, this is something I would like to do personally, is just be more available. I would love our council to be more available. And I'm not saying anything to anyone in general, but I would love to have office hours, to be present on a regular basis in our community so that we can have these in-person conversations. Because email, you know, okay, maybe phone conversation, but in-person, it's a different experience. So again, how do we put ourselves where our community is? But then also, I do think there is something to having a more concise vision for our community. Where are we going? What are the values that we have as a council, as a city? And maybe they're out there. I did spend some time looking and I could not clearly identify them. Yes, the council has their priorities, which I think are good priorities and ones that I align with. But I think over the long term, what are the things we are moving towards as a community? And are we... do we know that's what our community actually wants us to be moving towards? And I think, as again, as I said in my application, if we have a clear vision of where we're going over the next 10, 20, 30 years, and I know there's a comprehensive plan, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that the average citizen, a resident here, can like really resonate with and get behind. I think if we have that, then that allows them to hold us accountable to the vision that we have set, to where we are going. And I also think that it allows us to make good decisions with kind of the long term or the long view in mind. So I think, could you maybe repeat the question? I just want to make sure.
What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
Yeah, citizen focused. Yeah. Yeah. I think part of it is just being where the community is, but then also, are there creative things, other things that we can do to maybe even bring our city, if you will, to the city? Yeah, that doesn't really make sense. But can we host, you know, can we have a city council meeting elsewhere? Can we have it at a school? Very passionate about engaging our young people. How do we at least expose them to what the city council does? Of course, many won't be interested, but maybe some will be. So how can we be creative with where we are showing up, how we are showing up, who we're inviting here, who we're giving the opportunity to speak, and how are we sharing the platform that this council is and amplifying voices so that, again, there can be some accountability and so that folks genuinely feel like they're being heard and the council is doing something.
All right. Thank you, Taji. Did you have any questions for us?
Yes.
Yes. That was a prepared yes.
I'll just ask one. I don't know if it's worth everyone answering, maybe just one or two folks, but I'm just curious from your perspective. An effective council member is someone who, if you could finish that statement, in your mind, what makes an effective council member?
I can take that.
Okay, and I'll take the opposite.
That's fine.
We'll see how that one goes.
An effective council member is someone who advocates for their constituents. I mean, when you're in this seat, you're thinking consistently about what's best for your community and how the actions of this council will affect them in every way possible. I mean, you've talked about, you know, being community engaged. That's kind of like, that's point one when we come here. For a council meeting, even our work sessions are focused on what's best for our city. I'm not thinking about what's best for me. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about what's best for everybody that I support, who I ran for office for in the first place. And I know what how I got here, what it took to get here, and also, you know, what people expect from me when I come here and represent them. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, thank you.
So I echo that in terms of in work doing with our constituents, listening. I think it's very important for us to be focused on our constituency. It's also important for us when we have a constituent that's not feeding the services that we're trying to offer. I've experienced both. And it's important for us to have the courage to step forth and say, hey, look, this is private property. This is going beyond our scope. Having the ability to have that conversation with a constituent. Those are hard conversations. And to your point about having conversations and hard conversations at the council level, I think that is something that is valuable because oftentimes we sit up here, we've gone through work sessions, we've had explanations from staff, and our minds are either made up or our questions are answered. And we don't have a lot of discussion between each other. And everybody fills in the blanks, and the conversation at this table isn't had. So I think one of the greatest strengths that somebody coming to this council would have is to be able to talk to everybody and have an open conversation, as opposed to "that's not my team," you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's garbage at local government.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels to me like that is something that really needs to be highlighted and something that really needs to be focused upon at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yep.
Anyone else want to answer that?
I just have a quick thought. I think there's a steep learning curve that comes with the job, mm-hmm. but it never goes away. There's always something to learn, which I'm a teacher, so I love learning. So that's kind of my piece. But, you know, there's always something new and interesting, and you're always learning something different because there's a lot going on in a city, right? So there's always something that's something different or something new. And I just think you always have to be ready to take in new information and be ready for, you know, that coming at you every week or every month.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you have something for us?
I had a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
But if somebody else want to answer yours, you can first,
Yeah, why don't you go ahead with your question?
It's related directly to something that you said that sparked. So, you said, you know, we really should be bringing a concise vision to, is there a time limit here that, it's probably.
Yeah, we're.
All right, never mind. If in like a shortest amount possible, a stump speech, if you will, could you say what your vision that you want to bring? Because ultimately you're up here helping decide that vision and, you know, you don't have to campaign. So this is me. Yeah. You just knocked on my door. I want you to tell me. Yeah. What's your vision that you want to bring?
Why are we going to vote for you?
Yeah. Because that's
quickly, please.
Yeah, real quickly.
Yeah. And that's a good question. And honestly, I'm not able to concisely give you a vision. I think partially because I have not done the door knocking. I have not engaged the community. And my vision wouldn't be accurate if I didn't have a breadth of constituent insight. So I think things that I've already mentioned, I would want to be a part of the vision when we think about our parks and recreation, when we think about providing opportunities for our community to connect, when we think about affordability, when we think about increasing our tax base. And those are things that I would want to somehow capture in much nicer language. But my number one priority would be ensuring that our residents and constituents are speaking into the vision and actually setting the vision more so than one single person.
Yeah. So I'd like to make a couple of real quick comments. We all come with different experience and none of us are the full package. And that's what's kind of cool about this. We all bring different strengths to the table. And it's that's what I think kind of goes to where we need to have these conversations. We need to understand where people are coming. And in terms of vision, I'm just going to share with you kind of what my focus is. My focus is providing services to the citizens in an efficient manner, in a way that's effective, in a way that is reaching everybody. So that's kind of helps guide my vision of what is important. So just a little feedback. So
thank you
for coming in.
Can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
I did just want to take a minute to honor former council member Brendan Banks. He's actually a reason, partially a reason that I'm here. I actually don't know him. I haven't met him personally. But when I was looking for communities to live in, I would literally look at the makeup of the city council. And so 2 years ago, you know, I saw Councilmember Brendan Banks' picture and saw that he was representing this community. And I think, and actually recently I learned that he is the first person of color to serve on this council, which in one breath is terribly disappointing, but also encouraging that finally that time has come. And so I say that because for some folks, it is hard to be what you cannot see. And so because I saw him on this council, gave me the opportunity, just in the back of my head, in my subconscious, maybe think, okay, maybe one day, you know, I could serve on that council. And when we think about the diversity of our community, which is a beautiful thing and probably one of our, I would say one of our strengths. When you think about, I saw 55% of our folks under age of 18 are BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and people of color. There needs to be representation for those folks. And so I'm certainly not saying that because I'm a person of color, you know, I should be appointed to this council. Qualifications absolutely matter. But if you have the opportunity to, again, increase the breadth of representation, I just ask you to consider that.
All right. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your willingness to serve. And I wish we had more time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for applying. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
He could go an hour.
It's funny because there's a huge variance. Some 15 will be ample, and 15 will be not enough on others.
Yeah.
But that's kind of an indicator, I think.
Yeah.
Welcome, Owen.
Hello.
We have a set of scripted questions that we're just going to rotate through and ask. And we got about 15 minutes, roughly. And we're going to try to stay as true to that as we can, although we know we're going to fail. So let's start with the first one. First question is, can you, for us, tell us why you're interested in the council position here at the City of Crystal?
Yeah, you bet. Thank you, everyone, for your time this evening. I am interested in the city council position. I think some of you may have seen that I did run for city council in the last election. The reasons probably are plentiful. I live here. I work here. I have a family here. I'd like to see the community continue to be a good place to live. I want to actually take some of the skills that I've learned over the years and help kind of the city communicate its goals to its citizens and have a good kind of plan for the future and attract more good people to live here and just kind of make it a good community for the metropolitan area and continue to attract people to come to this city.
All right.
Hi, Elvin. What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Sure. So I kind of grew up in the business community, growing up in grocery stores and the service industry, small businesses ever since I was a young person. I think the skills of running a business are helpful to running the city, are helpful communicating to others that are participating in the city council roles to basically understand things in a meaningful way that can translate into a better way of life for people that live in the city. I've also been involved in IT for about the past 20 years, and I think IT comes with solving problems and identifying new solutions that may not necessarily be the old way of doing things, but maybe there's a better way to do things. And I think with IT, it's information technology, and what we're trying to do is find the most efficient, most effective way to do things. And I think with IT, with business, and I also am in sales. Sales is really about relationships. I am very well qualified at creating relationships, helping with sales. And I think the city council has kind of this unique aspect of not just business, not just people, but also kind of the, call it qualitative measures that aren't necessarily documented with numbers or metrics that need to be looked at, need to be discussed. And I think I would be a good participant in those discussions with the city council for future initiatives, using my business skills, using my service, sales skills, information technology skills. And I also have three sons. One is now, he's joined the Navy nuclear program. So that's a pretty big win for dad and mom. And I've got two other boys that I'm raising now, and I'm kind of looking to set them up for success as well. And I just really want to give back to the community because I feel it's important to be a good example to not only the community members around you, but also to family members and children in your family. This is something that I think everybody should do, is participate in civics, in, you know, politics, if you will, but more civics, which is more civil service oriented. So those are some of the skills that I think would help.
Okay. What are the critical issues facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
And I think I wrote some of these down on my application, which I did not have time to print out. I was at the University of Minnesota basketball game for one of my nephews. He's at State right now. So if we could take those one at a time, please, I'll just write them down quick.
What are the critical issues facing Crystal?
Okay. And then what was the second one?
How would you address these issues?
Okay.
Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
Okay, so I think some of the issues facing Crystal are, you know, I have my own view on some of the issues that are facing Crystal right now, but maybe some of the issues to discuss just in a higher level would be, I think inflation, I think cost of living, I think is a big issue for a lot of people right now. And I think they're looking for any way to get assistance or help with some of those things at this time of need. I look at community infrastructure. This is one of the reasons I wanted to run for city council, which was to get more involved with the community infrastructure to bring us more together as a neighborhood. I really like the Parks and Rec initiatives. I like the Three Rivers Park District initiative that has kind of brought the community closer together from an activity perspective. So I think, you know, the cost of living, inflation, and more community slash neighborhood initiatives are top of my list. And I think just getting the word out about what Crystal is doing on a regular basis to its citizens. Now, I know because I follow you on Facebook, I follow you with direct mail. There's other resources like the internet and, you know, places where we can find these things. But I think to some degree, families or newcomers to the community aren't necessarily looking for these things when they move into the community. So I think communication is another issue that I'd like to see. It's kind of a focus in terms of how the city council interacts with the citizens in Crystal.
Thank you.
So I guess how to address those things. Would you like that as well?
What?
Or is that part of the question?
That's part of the question.
Part of the question.
All right. So I think how to address those issues. I think there is so much that a city can do in terms of addressing the cost of living and the inflation issues. I think some of that is a very high level, macro level. But I think there are issues that are a little bit closer to home in terms of us helping our residents manage through these tough times. We have a lot of different programs that are offered through the city. For instance, my neighbors across the street from me had a sewer break, and the cost used to be $3,000 to $6,000 to repair these things. It's now $27,000, like on average. Turned out, I gave them a referral and it turned out it was $15,000, but they used the Crystal renovation fund to actually get a subsidized, you know, 20% of that cost, which really helped them because that's a lot of money. So I think just helping the citizens get more programs in their hands that are going to help them live and thrive with their work and their community and their, you know, family is a good thing. So I think that we can do that as a city council, and I'm sure that a lot of that's going on right now. It's probably a matter of just kind of putting the word out in a different way. So back to how do we communicate these things? I think we just look at different avenues to do this on a regular basis and see what works and continue to do those things and just do as much as we possibly can to get out there and get our name in front of and programs in front of the citizens of Crystal. I don't necessarily recall the last
strengths.
The last issue, if I covered all the issues and some of the ways we can address them, what do I think the strengths of Crystal are? I was sitting in the room with some of the other applicants, and one has lived here her entire life. One has lived here since 1992. I've lived here since 2008. I think some of the strength is our community. And I had to become friends with Terry, who's going next on Facebook, because I couldn't believe the amount of information she knew about gardening and many other things. I feel like there are just great resources in the people in Crystal. And I got to tell you, everybody I meet, it's a great experience. And I think that's a big strength of our community. I think the strength of our community is a small community. You know, it's a great location. It's a great proximity to the city. And that's why a lot of people end up moving here, is because of the proximity and the things we offer. But I think a lot of people do not know about the great people in this city. So I think that's a big strength. And I think just the fiscal responsibility of the city is a big strength as well, in terms of, you know, it doesn't seem like we're going into debt on a regular basis. It doesn't seem like we're using those types of instruments. And I think that that's a good thing. You know, to be kind of small and agile in terms of thinking about taxes and how we utilize those taxes, and how do we provide services for our citizens, and how do we do it in a way that's the most efficient, kind of like a business. And it seems like part of Crystal's strength is it may kind of tend to operate in a very fiscally responsible way, something like a business would. So I think those are the strengths.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. You kind of touched on this a little bit with your last answer, but could you please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting? And I can say those three things again if you want.
Yeah, public service, taxes, and budgeting.
All right, you got them.
Yes. Well, I think public service, in a sense of government, is a necessary thing where we are here in a form of civics. You know, we are here to civilly serve the taxpayers of this city. So I think the public service should do just that. It should serve the public, and it should serve the public needs. So as a representative, you know, I would look to what exactly are the services that are currently existing? What are some other public demands or desires, you know, that might need additional service? Because at some point, a lot of these things become more of a populist, or they become more popular. So in some situations, we may be accommodating public services for smaller groups, which I think is completely appropriate. But I think that our job is to serve the public at its highest level. Taxes, in terms of what are the philosophies on taxes, I think taxes should fund the public service. And I think that the taxes that do come in should be transparent. It should be well understood. It should be fair in terms of what it is that the public is getting from the actual city or the county or the state. So if taxes are being collected, then those taxes should go back and help fund the services that the public need in that specific area, whether it's city, county, or state. So in terms of the philosophy on taxes, I think philosophy is we should keep taxes efficient and working for the public. In terms of budgeting, we do budgeting in business. You know, typically we like to do that ahead of the year. And I think it's one of the most important aspects of business is actually going through the budget process, because that's where not only we can look into the future of, you know, what are the taxes going to be, what are the public service needs, but what do we need to plan for? What are we anticipating that, you know, might need to happen in the future? And clearly have, you know, a good vision of that and have discussions around those specific things. And I think budgeting is a great time to do that. It may seem like just numbers, but those numbers do translate into, you know, the well-being of the public, that qualitative, you know, living aspect of what does it feel like to live in Crystal? Is it a good place to pay taxes? Is it a good place, you know, in terms of what are you getting for what are you paying? And I think the budgets really help kind of plan that out at a macro level. And it really, I think that's one of the most important of the three questions, is just appropriate budgeting and making sure that we're having those discussions and making that plan.
Okay. Describe your experience in working collaboratively and building consensus.
Collaboratively and building consensus.
Yeah.
Well, I think from a collaboration standpoint, we want to have at least an understood goal in terms of, you know, what is it we're trying to do? What is it we're trying to accomplish? But I think the business team meeting of my life and of my professional experience has been very positive. Obviously, there are situations where people want certain things and they want, you know, things to happen their way. But my experience in a team is if everybody starts to understand where others are coming from, that you can get to a better place, you know, with those decision-making process, that, you know, it's greater than the parts, you know. So in terms of a team actually being collaborative, I think it's a very powerful organization that can do things that individuals can't do. And I think it's important because dialogue ultimately, from my perspective, really drives initiatives forward. And if team members can respectfully have those conversations and disagree in a respectful manner, I think that's very powerful to the outcome of the actual team. So I just think if there's respect among all of the team members, it doesn't matter if we agree or disagree, we're going to get to a better place.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
Oh boy. And if some of these things are happening, you know, forgive me. But I really like surveys, you know, that would actually go out to the citizens of the community to kind of get a, you know, better idea of like, what are people thinking around these top issues? So I think a suggestion would be surveys. And those surveys, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and asking him, like, how would you get to everybody in Crystal? He said, well, does everybody in Crystal pay a water bill? Well, they don't, of course, if they rent or live in, you know, an apartment building, but that's just another way. Maybe there's a way to get surveys out to homeowners, you know, through the utility mail, for instance. So I think that would be one way is to take surveys. I know that there's encouragement to get citizens involved in the committees and other groups. So I think that's great. But I think fortunately or unfortunately, PR or marketing is one of the things that pretty much drives this world. And so I think another suggestion would be is to step up the marketing efforts in terms of what is going on here, what is going well, and why people should care about it. And maybe they'll start to tell others, maybe they'll start to talk about it and have a higher propensity to get involved, you know, in some of the groups, some of the committees that can continue to push this community forward. So surveys and marketing and, you know, just more publicity about good things. And quite frankly, maybe there's some bad things too that need to be discussed that, you know, just need to be out there in the public forum. So those are a couple suggestions.
All right. Did you have any questions for us?
What is the city council looking for in a city council?
Great question.
It's the common question.
Let's see if we can answer it the same.
Sure.
I'll speak for myself. I'm personally looking for someone who is citizen focused, who is also service focused. And what I mean by service focused is we provide some essential services to the citizens of Crystal. And I'm looking for somebody who will focus on those and not get too distracted by too many other things. I'm also looking for someone who's willing to have conversations, hard conversations, and have the courage to have the public conversation. You know, I think in the last time I answered this question, it was we need to talk to each other and understand the why behind some of our belief systems. And I think if we do that and we listen to each other, we're going to learn quite a bit from each other. And I think that's something that needs to be brought to this council. And I think that's something that we can improve on. And I think we will.
And I guess I'd ask another, what makes a functional city council? Like, how do you know you're succeeding as a council?
Okay. Again, I'll answer for myself. I think if we can keep taxes affordable, I think that's a huge win. I think if we can offer the services that we're currently offering and not have to raise taxes, especially in times of what you mentioned, high inflation. I've been talking about high inflation for 3 years, and we are entering into, well, last year we entered into a budget cycle, which was a lot higher than what we've done in the past. And the drum I had been beating is, you know, this is going to, for people on fixed incomes, because we have a lot of them still in the save crystal, this is going to be pinch time for them. And we experienced a lot of that from some of the residents who came forward and said, hey, can you help with this, that, and the other thing? And that's their rent, that's their utilities, all their basic expenses are shooting through the roof. And meanwhile, since we're on the topic, we're going to raise your taxes by 9-some percent. So to me, it's important for us to be reactive and forth-thinking enough to say, hey, we can't expand our services in this cycle, because that's going to add added pressure to our citizens. And that's why I voted no on the budget, is because I didn't think we were doing an honest job on that.
Here, I'll answer real quickly in a different way I interpreted your question. Sure. I think you mentioned earlier about publicity,
right?
I think that right now you hear things in other cities about really dysfunctional city councils, right? And if you're somebody that's looking to move somewhere and you say, oh my goodness, the mayor just threw a book at a council member or something like that, or they're attacking each other on Twitter or whatnot, it shows a level of dysfunction that I think is unattractive to people that are looking to move there. And I think that what you said earlier about having those tough conversations is very important, but doing it here and then going home and not going to Twitter and just ripping somebody to shreds on there, and having like being respectful about how you disagree and still disagreeing and not being, you know, a shrinking violet or whatnot, but having those tough conversations, but still having the respect, is something that I think is really important and is something that I hope to see here continue, and with whoever we appoint as well.
That would be great. Yeah. John.
And then one thing, you know, you talked about like, what are we looking for in, you know, a new member of our city council? You're helping us to make that decision, because I don't think we really know. I mean, we've looked at the applications. They're all great applications. But I mean, just getting a sense of your passion for the city itself helps us in terms of determining who that person should be on our council. And that's what's really helpful to us. So, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you saying the things that you did say about interacting with your neighbors and, you know, supporting people and looking at their abilities and realizing that we have a city of just wonderful people that add a lot to this community. That's a great place to live. And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. I think we need to let you go.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And your willingness to step out in the public. Appreciate it.
Just goes long.
I don't even know how long that was.
How long? I wasn't track of time.
20, I think.
20 minutes.
We really need like somebody there with a time.
Yeah. Well, at this point, we're gonna go ahead and process it. I'll try to get it down.
9:30 is.
Cool. I mean, it's better to get a good picture and be here later than.
I agree. I think that's important.
How's the jet lag? Any jet lag that you had?
It comes and goes. Honestly, one day I'm like, oh, I'm doing great, and the next day I'm just asleep. Like. But right now I'm doing well. Chocolate helps.
Yeah.
We have them. I don't know. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay, we're going to provide questions for them so they can refer to them. We didn't do that for the first three. It's not fair. But for us, let's keep note of that.
But they're still just doing it right now. They're not.
Yes, okay. Correct. Correct. It's just.
So we're not asking. We're just saying.
No, we're going to ask. We're going to
ask. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. They can follow along.
So what we're going to do is ask the questions that are before you. And
okay.
One at a time, each council member is going to ask a question. And we're just looking for your response and to get a feel for who you are. So I'm going to start with the questions. First question is, please, in your own words, explain why you are interested in serving on the Crystal City Council.
All right. I have lived in Crystal since 1992, and I have been involved in volunteer efforts both at the school district when my kids were in school, even UCFE. I was on the Parent Advisory Council. And now these days I'm serving on the Environmental Quality Commission. So I have a long history of being involved, and this just feels like a logical next step in my interest in the city and contributing to the community that we live in.
All right.
Hi.
Hey.
What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Okay. So for my day job, I am currently a program analyst, which is a hybrid project manager business analyst. I've been in the field of business analyst project manager for about 15 years now. And I think the kind of discipline that is required for that line of work, being planful, being mindful, being able to consider what your goal is, what the scope is, you know, and including, you know, what the dependencies are of any effort, as well as what the unintended consequences of any decision might be, are important in the kind of role that the city council or local government does.
Thank you.
What are the critical issues facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
Okay. From my point of view, some of the critical issues facing our community, we're a small city. Our budget is not endless. We don't have a huge tax base. We're also facing some of the infrastructure issues that many cities of our size and age are, I think. And one of the things that drew me to Crystal originally was the affordability of housing, and we need to preserve that and preserve the ability for people to afford to live in Crystal and contribute to our tax base.
Thank you. Forrest?
Yeah.
Okay.
So could you please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting?
Okay. Let me think about that one for a bit. With any city, residents expect a certain level of services, and we need to balance the services that we provide our citizens and our residents with the taxes that are reasonable and affordable. And reasonable in the sense that the purpose of a city is not to make a profit. We should, you know, be able to balance out at zero. We shouldn't spend more than we bring in, and we need to be transparent in how we spend the money that our residents entrust with us. It's not an unlimited budget, and we have to be mindful about what's important for residents and what are key services that any city must provide. You can't suddenly decide you're not going to fund, say, public works projects. You have to decide and pick and choose what you're going to fund based on the needs as well as the wants and desires, and do that thoughtfully with public input, but also with the best interest of the entire community in mind.
So describe your experience in working collaboratively and building consensus.
So that is pretty much what I do every day at work. With many of them, these days I work for a pharmacy benefits company. And we're nonprofit technically. We balance many different needs in any project. You have the intent of the project, you have the desires of the people who are the project owners, as well as the considerations for members, the people receiving services, as well as clients, the ones that are purchasing our services for their members. You have to bring the group together, get consensus on what you're attempting to do. Why are you there? What's the scope? In many cases, you have to identify and help people see the what's in it for me. What will I gain by doing this? And you do that by talking to people and bringing them together to understand, why are we all here? What are we attempting to do? What do we have in common? And even when people are at odds on some of the issues, there are always things that we have in common.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
Ooh. I mean, as it stands, there are quite a few opportunities for citizens and residents to make their voices heard. I think the city has gone a long ways in providing transparency. We could always do a better job of being transparent with our residents. We could improve the opportunities for citizens to interact with people and residents to interact with people that are within city government, as well as making the overall process more approachable and less just more approachable and less, I don't want to say confrontational, but, you know, creating opportunities for people to interact with members of the city council that aren't in this format, that are more conversational, you know, such as the frolics or other meet and greets or the Arbor Day events where we interact with both the mayor and members of the city council that are there, providing more of those. And no matter what you do, you know, the old saw of you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can create these opportunities. Some people may never show up, but the opportunity is there for them if they want to.
All right. Do you have any questions for us?
What is the overall timeline for your decision making?
Adam?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor? Michelle? This is the first evening of interviews. Essentially, half of the applicants are being interviewed tonight on April 4th. The second half, the other five, will be interviewed. And following that meeting, depending on the hour, the council will discuss and deliberate to selecting someone to fill the vacancy. The appointment is scheduled to take place on April 18th. Which is the next following regular city council meeting.
Okay.
April 13th, there's a city work session where they may need to continue the discussion. So that is the current schedule for the position.
All right. Thank you.
The current on April 18th, when the council actually makes a formal appointment, depending on how the council wants to do it, they could do that at the very beginning. First item of business, then that person would take the seat and serve the rest of the meeting.
So okay.
Participate.
Okay.
So chooses.
That would be
I really don't have any questions. I kind of had them answered in advance. So do you want the rest of these back?
No,
because I've got Bonnie's.
It was the next one.
And Travis. So we'll leave Bonnie's here.
Sure.
Yes.
They're the same questions.
Yes.
It was just for your reference.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your willingness to step out. It's great to have all the applicants.
Yes, grateful.
Yeah, very impressed.
I don't envy your choices.
We could just have another council. We could be 42 members.
Just a family council. Yeah, just let every ward into. Monitor New Hampshire, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't remember someone.
Chris, you would. All right.
So beautiful.
Welcome, Bonnie Bolish. We have a set order of questions. They've been set before you. We're just going to ask you verbally, and then you can either refer to the questions if you'd like, or just we would like you to freely answer so we get a feel for who you are and whatnot. And I'll start with a questioning, and we'll just go around.
Sure.
First question is, please tell us, why you're interested in serving on the Crystal Council?
That is a good question. I have actually been involved in Crystal related activities for quite some time. I actually became involved when our street reconstruction project started, and there was some issues related or surrounding the street reconstruction. And my neighbor had actually went with me to a city council meeting like we often have here. And it was really scary to come up to the council and like address the council, you know, about my concerns. And I wasn't really treated well, but I've learned a lot of things throughout the years regarding like legislation. I've been involved in legislation a long time, as well as seeing how Crystal develops policies, as well as how it runs the city. And, you know, honestly, like, you've seen me here, right?
Right.
You know, I'm curious about things and I ask questions, and I just, my personality is I like to be involved. I like asking really good questions. I like making sure that people are represented. My profession, I'm a licensed acupuncturist. Part of my job is to ask a lot of questions, because part of my job is problem solving. People come to me because they have problems that they need help with. And I think that that's an asset. I'm always curious. I'm always willing to listen to minority voices. I guess I think I have a lot of good attitude, as well as, you know, I know what's going on.
All right. Thank you.
What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Well, I know Robert's Rules of Order. I have served as president for a number of nonprofit organizations. I know how kind of meetings are run. I know how to do public requests for information. I tend to be very personable. Most people, I tend to be a peacemaker. That's typically what I like to see. I don't know. I don't like to brag about myself. So I don't know. Now ask someone else, honestly. It's hard to try to talk about yourself, honestly.
What are some critical issues facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
Well, currently in my form, I think you guys all got the forms, right? And kind of how people responded. So I put the three things that I thought were major issues facing the city of Crystal were financial concerns regarding the potential recession and how that would impact the community. Number two, creating a community that feels welcoming for all, that all voices are heard. And number three, making sure city infrastructure is accessible and working with stakeholders. The reason why I'm concerned, like, I don't know if you guys saw that in Brooklyn Center, like Walmart is closing. We're seeing signs of recession in 2007, 2008. I know the city saw a lot of foreclosures, which has a big impact on our community, right? When we have houses that are closed, we had houses that, like, because they were abandoned, like the waters would break and then the buildings would fill with water. So, you know, those things are like, the recession stuff is a big concern. I think that we always have to pay attention. Like, how are the grandmas in our community able to withstand recessions? How do they withstand raising property taxes? We want to keep people living in their homes. We don't want to out-tax people, right? Creating a community that feels welcoming for all. I don't know if you read my thing. I've been involved in looking at what structural racism is. I never knew what that was. I've learned a lot since like May of last year. Things like the Good Old Boy Club, I think that's a structure in place. Oftentimes people don't know that, like all of you guys are going to be picking someone, right? And you're going to want to pick someone that fits your mold, right? And sometimes you need people that are different from you to serve in these places, to be able to have a different voice. You know, I see you guys fighting, you know, right? But it's okay to have different opinions. Like, I have always led when I've been in a leadership position where there's always a majority opinion, right? And then there's a minority opinion. But oftentimes we don't want to record a minority opinion. But the reality is historians can look back and say, oh, maybe the minority opinion was the right decision. But you need to record those. You need to let people feel like I was heard. Oftentimes people don't feel like they've heard. Record the minority opinion. It's okay. And making sure infrastructure is accessible. Our city in 20 years will probably be about 100 years old. Most of the houses built in Crystal are going to be 100 years old. And I've talked to people and they're like, Bonnie, you know, Minneapolis has lots of 100-year-old housing. I understand that. But to me, that's like, oh my gosh, that's really old housing. Like, what are we going to do? But my biggest concern is that there are people that are living longer. And there's a lot of people that have mobility issues. And so I want to make sure that we build in the future infrastructure that allows for people with disabilities to be able to move about our city. Like I had reached out to Ann asking, like, can you ride like a golf cart in our city? Most cities you can't ride a golf cart, right? But like, you know, these mobility scooters are high powered. Like if I were to age in here, say I lose my license, right? How would I get from here to Target, right? Can't we think about people in terms of getting them around our city other than people that can? And like, even like with the rail that wants to come through, like how are people with disabilities that live in like my neighborhood, which is Brownwood, which is this neighborhood, how are they going to get all the way over to the railroad safely, right? If they don't drive a car, you know, we're trying to move towards electrical cars, right? If you've ever sat on a street and watched people driving by, most cars are one person in the car. Just think if we built infrastructure for people that, like those mobility devices, they can get from point A to point B, right? Less electricity, less resources in terms of metal, things like that, right? So those are the three things I think are facing Crystal. What are the strengths? The strengths are is that our community is a bedroom community. I think the services are affordable. I think that I feel relatively safe in our community, but you know, any of that could change, right? So that's what I would say. I think the strengths are there. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the next question's mine. Kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'd like you to explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting.
Sure. So my philosophy about public services is that I grew up, I'm one of nine. So when you grow up in a large family, you don't have a ton of money, right? So you try to live within your means. I think that our city has really good services in what we have. We're not in Edina, right? But I think that we need to keep our services the way they are. We want good quality service. The staff at the city are always awesome. I've never really had a bad problem. So I'm really happy with the services in terms of staffing. Taxes wise, I think our city has always been conservative. You know, we don't try to run high budgets. We don't try to out-tax people out of their homes, right? And budgeting, you know, having grown up in a large family and always trying to budget, right? I also believe, too, though, that sometimes spending a little money to get a better quality, to last things longer, you're actually making a better choice. For example, right, you can buy an old junker car, right? So you spend $1,000, but if it costs you $2,000 in that first year to repair it, you've actually spent $3,000, right? Versus if you buy a $20,000 car and you get a loan over 6 years, the average amount of money that you're spending that year is going to be less than when you bought the $1,000 car. So sometimes when you're budgeting for money, you got to think in long-term as well as short-term. What is it going to impact both short-term and long-term when you purchase things?
Okay. Describe your experience in working collaboratively and building consensus.
Sure. So I was, for my profession, I was the legislative chair for my profession. How I worked collaboratively, I was co-chair with one of my colleagues. She actually was mad at our association, so she didn't want to be a member, but I felt her opinion mattered. So I had her co-chair with me. We were trying to make some legislative changes. So as part of building consensus, I developed basically a ballot asking our profession if they wanted to move on some legislative stuff, right? So I did a ballot, but before that, what we did is we did a majority opinion and a minority opinion. And so before we sent the ballot out, we made sure everybody knew what the majority opinion was and what the minority opinion was, so that people that didn't know what the subject material was would understand before they voted, right? How they wanted to vote, right? And so then we sent out the ballot, and we allowed both membership and non-membership, because again, opinions matter. They've always mattered to me, right? And so then we counted up the ballots, and then basically the majority won, and we moved on the legislation. And interestingly enough, the person that ended up writing the minority opinion probably 10, 15 years later actually approached me and told me, he's like, you were right, Bonnie, which I was nice to hear. But, you know, I wanted to preserve his opinion because it matters. Because history, when you look back, that's when you go, oh, maybe the minority was right.
Thank you.
So what suggestion or idea do you have to make the city government more citizen focused?
That is a good question. Because just even that definition of citizen, who is an actual Crystal citizen, right? We all come from different demographics. So who is the citizen that you're trying to like talk to? As you know, our city is growing. It's becoming more diverse. So if you're talking about a diverse citizen, that's going to look different than from someone that's not a diverse person, right? For me, it's about, again, getting representation where people feel like they have a voice. People that look like them are represented. Making sure that they feel that their voice is heard.
So that question, you're not the first person that says that's a good question. That wasn't on the application. That's why that's a good question. I didn't think about that one.
Right.
So final question is, do you have any questions for us?
I always have questions for you guys.
No.
You know what? Can I go back to the last one? Because I was kind of bugged at one of the council meetings because I was raising my hand and you guys wouldn't call on me. That bothered me because as part of being a citizen and wanting to be involved, when you guys are all making discussions up here as a citizen, like I have questions too, and I was completely ignored. And I thought, well, why can't you ask, does anybody in the audience have a question? Because like part of making your decisions, oftentimes you rely on city staff, but maybe there's a citizen out here that has an important opinion about something. And you guys completely ignored me. And so, like, I was kind of annoyed by that, honestly. So, so that would be my that part two, because it was annoying to be just completely ignored. Sorry.
Well, that's really interesting. I don't need to answer it, but you're not the only one who's felt that way. I guarantee you. I've been in the same situation happen. And that's kind of how the council goes. We try to provide opportunity for that. And I understand on the fly when we have conversations, it brings up new questions. I get that.
Right. And it's like about, again,
I can tell you, we didn't do it to annoy you on purpose.
I know, but I have like questions, you know, sure. And it's just like, okay, well then maybe there should be a venue either before or after so that people get their questions answered. Cause I actually attended the Minnesota Board of Medicine meeting and like they gave 2 minutes and that was it at the beginning of the meeting. And then they were talking about subject material that I had questions about. So I like raised my hand and they're like, we don't take questions from the audience. And I'm thinking like, why not? Like, why wouldn't you as a government allow citizens to ask questions? I can understand if someone is like showboating or taking too much time, but why wouldn't you let citizens ask questions? I mean, otherwise they feel annoyed and ignored. So anyway, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got one more.
Yeah.
You could probably expand the open forum definition and also add to that other ways in which you can address questions or concerns that come up during the meeting. Like, you know, please reach out to, you know, city staff directly or, you know, to your representative on the council. And these conversations are always ongoing. They're not ever, you know,
usually the ones that are kind of hot topics, I take them from open forum and I bring them to the subject matter.
True.
That works well. But you know, I would think from our perspective, we oftentimes talk about them in a work session and those are open and they're available. And
I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a, you know, if there's questions, well, anyways, we have things that we got to deal with right now, right?
All right. Travis, welcome. We have a list of questions that we are going to ask you, and we're just going to go around the council and just ask you the question. And a lot of them are going to be familiar because you had them on your application, but it's sometimes nice to hear it come from you. So the first question is, why are you interested in being on the council?
Well, I wanted to thank the council first for taking the opportunity to speak with me today or tonight, as it happens. I appreciate it, as well as your flexibility meeting this late after the conclusion of your session. The reason why I'm interested in being a member of the council, besides obvious needs for quorum, et cetera, would be that I've been a resident of Crystal for just over a decade now. And I have witnessed in that time changes in the community, both good and others not so good, that I would like to be a part of in terms of improving either outcomes or improving upon services that we provide as a community. There are a number of initiatives that are available either at the state or federal level, for instance, that would allow for the community to invest more deeply as a political institution into goals around environmental preservation, the production of services, and reducing our overall carbon footprint as a community. These are obviously initiatives that have received a great deal of attention over the last year, but they are not new issues, and they are pertinent, if not, in fact, very sensitive issues. Those are probably best addressed with financing coming from elsewhere and the monies that are available at the city level, where we do have that immediate contact with the community, where we have the ability to make these types of changes, even pilot these types of changes. And in all cases, I would see myself in a position to be able to assist the council, both in terms of knowledge of some of these areas that exist, some of the improvements that can be made, some of the financial tools that are available at a state and federal level, given my experience with the political system.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
What unique abilities or background do you have that would be an asset to the council?
Thank you for that question. I have 25 years of experience working at the legislature in different capacities, starting first as an intern back in 1999. And since then have worked on various issues before the House for the most part, but also with members of the Senate. I do have good working relationships with our elected representatives at the state level and several at the federal level as well that would be relevant to this position. And see that those opportunities as giving us yet one more voice to connect with our broader legislative representation and bring more attention to Crystal, perhaps along with that, perhaps more resources. Additionally, I'm also an attorney, as it says in my application. I've been practicing for nearly 20 years, and I'm a former judge for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you.
What are critical issues currently facing Crystal, and why do you say that? How would you address these issues? Conversely, what are Crystal's strengths?
Critical issues facing Crystal, I think, are probably issues that seem a little bit broader than our actual borders. And those critical issues involve concerns about environmental preservation. They involve our choices as a political institution and how we can either positively or negatively impact those challenges. I would say that a critical concern would be finding ways to reduce the amount of carbon that we can possibly do through our city services. For it, just by way of example, there's a service that's out of Oslo, Norway. It's a private business, and they've actually replaced road construction processes to eliminate bituminous, reuse local materials in the existing road, and use a binding agent that we have in abundance in northern Minnesota, lignin from trees. Their processes are almost zero carbon in total effect for road construction, which is a remarkably carbon intensive industry. So it's finding those novelties and being able to bring those and have an informed debate about what is in the best interest of Crystal, along with some of these opportunities that exist to allow for additional funding to come into the community, as well as to address these issues. Things that we do well as a community, I find this to be a dynamic place. One of the things that drew me to Crystal in the first instance, I drove down Hampshire Avenue, just a few blocks away, and I saw a number of children playing in the street at the place that was about to become my home. I didn't know it at the time. The environment here reminded me so much of the small town that I grew up in southern Minnesota. Intergenerational, hardworking people, honest. I know I can turn to my neighbors for anything. And I don't know if there's many communities left that you can actually do that, certainly in the metro area. And I think that is a relative strength that we should be doing more to promote throughout the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Could you please explain your philosophy about public services, taxes, and budgeting?
Public service is something that we should all have an opportunity to experience at some point in time. I myself, following undergraduate, joined the AmeriCorps program for 2 years, working in Minneapolis and St. Paul in communities that were affected by with children with lead poisoning. We would rehabilitate homes, we would build gardens, we would do a number of different projects to try to change people's lives for the better when they're faced with this type of crisis. Taxes, I understand, are a contentious issue, but taxes are how we create great communities. It's not that they're easy to pay. It's not that they're fun to pay, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is that we're supposed to be providing safety. We're supposed to be providing livable communities. We're supposed to be providing transportation or the means thereof and other services that taxes are fundamental to. This may not put me in a very popular position, but I'm in favor of taxes. I don't have a problem with taxes. As long as the money is being spent intelligently and going to programs that are helping people, that's the most important purpose. That is the modus vivendi for government.
Describe your experience in working collaboratively and building consensus.
Well, I've been involved in either politics or in political movements for most of my adult life. And those experiences have, by necessity, involved working with people that maybe you find strong disagreement with, but you come around on a certain issue that ends up becoming attractive to both parties and you continue to work in that dialogue. One of the things that I found most challenging over the last 20 years is to see Minnesota's political dialogue start to mirror that more of what we've seen nationally. And that vitriol and that character assassination that comes with that process has been very difficult to see transpire in this state, where at one point in time, Republicans and Democrats, while they may have had differences, were arguing about whether they should have a 5-cent tax or 10-cent tax for gas, not, you know, what is a tax and trying to reduce it to some kind of existential argument. It's important that we have understanding of each other, even if we politically disagree. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is to find those common goals and be able to work on them together. And hopefully through some struggle and over time, that relationship blossoms to the point where we can become reliant on one another once again, both in public, but also politically, instead of being antagonistic for the sake of having different ideas.
Thank you.
What suggestion or idea do you have to make city government more citizen-focused?
It's an excellent question. Well, I think you're starting right now. I mean, this is a great opportunity. How many people can come to a city council meeting and be able to say, I would like to be considered a member of your institution, the way that this has been opened up like this? I think that's a wonderful start. As far as becoming more, I guess, having a bigger presence is the idea that comes to mind. We hear about city council meetings. We hear about actions by the mayor's office. But they are intermittent at best. They don't really capture a great deal of attention. And I'm not saying that you're not doing great work, and I'm not saying it isn't attention worthy, but it doesn't seem to completely transferred over into the daily sort of acts of living, right? And I think it would be a great idea for this council to perhaps, just as a starter, let's have an open house. Right. I mean, it's not that we don't have open seating. It's not that they're not public forums. But again, it's building that familiarity. It's making people know that you're available and then actually following through with it. Those small steps can make a huge difference. I mean, Councilman Cummings, I do work through and have been involved with the DFL locally for some time. And having those connections and making those contacts with people have turned into other relationships in and outside of politics. And this is what we should be doing as council members as well. And I think, frankly, the more exposure that we can have, the more opportunity we have to interact with the public and become just other friendly faces in the community, we're going to start hearing more ideas come. We're going to start seeing more people get involved. And maybe at some point in time, we see, you know, even more people involved in the decision-making process before this chamber.
I hear pack the court. last question is for you. Do you have any questions for us?
I do. I was wondering if I could hear from each of you briefly, what is one initiative that in the next 19 months you want the person who takes this position to be of assistance with?
I can start. Well, first is one issue, and it's, we have a leaking pool. And so we have started the process in terms of, you know, getting moving forward with fixing that issue. But I would hopefully that the individual that sits in that seat down there would also take great interest in that pool and be able to bring some insight as to why that pool is important to our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, as somebody who spent a lot of time at that pool with two young boys who are now 16 and 14, and the eldest just got his license, I can't even believe that's possible. The pool and that environment has really had an outsized presence in our life. So I think it's remarkable that we have that kind of resource in this community, and it certainly needs the attention that it deserves.
Thank you.
I can go next. I'm one of the newer council members here, and I remember very vividly knocking on hundreds of doors and talking to hundreds of people. So the one issue that I heard again and again, actually one of the candidates brought it up, was stop signs and neighborhood vehicular safety. And so that is something that I'm hoping that will come up in the next couple, 2 years, 19 months, as I kind of get my feet under me, is addressing that through using different tools and trying to make sure that our neighbors feel safe walking and, like you said, playing in the street. Streets are places for more than just driving when they're in our neighborhood. So making sure that people feel safe, because I heard a lot people don't. So
I was actually one of these stop sign people at one point in time. There was a yield sign that was placed at the end of the street down here, going over Hampshire Avenue. I mean, as neighbors, including Bonnie Bolash, who's here earlier, who's my next door neighbor as it turns out. We just noticed so many cars that were just ignoring the yield signs and asked the council to switch that back. And it was done in relatively short order. So I look forward to working with that issue as well, should I be selected.
I'll go next. As you might be aware, there's the blue line coming through, the extension of the blue line. And we're going to have a stop in Crystal, 81 and Bass Lake Road. And how it was phrased in one of the meetings I was at is, we've got a great opportunity to make that station really cool. Mm-hmm. And so I would like somebody that has some creative ideas and participates. And what can we do? What do we want that staff to say about Crystal? So, and that's happening like in the next year. So certainly in that time frame. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What would you like to see at the staff?
Well, I have to say that's not honestly something I had contemplated before this conversation. So, but what I would love to see are some of the things that we talked about here tonight. We do have a vibrant community. We do have a dynamic community. We also have a surprisingly large community, 25,000 people that you wouldn't know it driving through Crystal left to right, but up and down. Yeah, it's a little bit different. But we do have a lot to offer as a community. And anything that we can do to bring more people and see that and perhaps lay down roots, start businesses, I think that is a great promotional opportunity, including the train stop.
Thank you.
I guess for me, it would be just finding someone that can help balance services that the city offers with, you know, we've got a lot of constituents that are struggling to make payments, you know, taxes. And so, you know, as we kind of talked earlier, we can't keep raising taxes without either offering more services to help or just someone that can help balance the services we offer with the taxes that continue to get raised. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that seems like, you know, the council got an email from an angry constituent about it. So it's a big deal for the constituents. It's just the raising of the taxes.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
Now, are these taxes that are being imposed at the city level that this individual?
No, well, I mean, right.
It's really a matter of what's in our control too.
Exactly. A lot of it's county, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, we got Blue Line, we got the pool, we've got a lot of services too that are coming up into discussion. And so I think those obviously have an impact.
Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to hear what that person thinks should be the first service that we cut so that we can reduce taxes, because that's really what we're talking. And it's not eliminating a service, it's the slow withering of all services that's just a little less effective than it was the day before when those taxes were in place. I appreciate people who have a strong opinion about how to do things differently. Mm-hmm. And if they can offer a criticism such as, you know, I pay too much in taxes, ostensibly to the wrong body, but and pair that with good ideas, and then I'm, you know, I would be willing to listen to them anyways, but that's even more helpful. And I'd be curious to hear what this person has to say at a later point.
You want to go or you want me to?
I'll go and then I don't know, just second everything one said. Yeah.
So I was going to say something else, but I can't help but going back to the taxes issue. You know, it's one of those things where taxes have increased in the city of Crystal. And it's not based on any particular level of government, whether it be county, mm-hmm. whether it be city. It's the valuation shift from commercial to residential. That's what we've been experiencing. That's what we knew was going to happen at least 3 years ago. Same thing with inflation. We knew that there were all kinds of inflationary levers being pressed at the federal level. So we knew that was coming as well. And honestly, that's what we're facing. And one of my goals is and was to prepare the city to not necessarily cut, but not expand. And that's something that we had a choice last year, whether we expanded or whether we stayed the same. We expanded. Mm-hmm. And that was a choice we as a council made. But the first thing that came to mind when you asked the question was full, open, honest, respectful conversations mm-hmm. need to be had at this in this forum. And that's the one thing. So thank you for your time. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for your willingness to come and step forward in the public, for, you know, and put yourself out there. That's, you know, we have some great candidates. I'm amazed at the number of people who are willing to step forward and present themselves. It's thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you all for your time this evening. And if you have any additional questions, I know my contact information is with the city administrator. So do feel free to reach out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for applying.
All right. So we just a little reflection. You know, we put people on this council via election, but this is a cool exercise because we're hearing different ideas that aren't coming from within here and they're being presented. I wasn't expecting that.
It's very different.
It's very cool.
Has this happened before? Do you know?
Yes, it's twice. Happened before.
Okay.
Were you on when that first one happened? Or just before you?
No, the second one. The first one was, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the first one was Julie Dashler was, well, whoever was the Section 2 person. Because Gary Grimes resigned.
Yep.
And then I can't remember the gentleman's name. He was appointed, and then he ran against Julie until he won. So, and then the second time, the Ward 3 rep, he retired from the fire department. I can't remember what his name was. And there was he had a unique first name.
That was before my time, too.
Yeah. But he resigned, and then there was was applied. And so it's different. Yeah, it's a different environment.
So, all right. At any rate, this work session is adjourned.
All right.